Life Audio.
Hey everyone, this is Adam, and I'm excited to share just a short segment of the Trevor Talks podcast. It's hosted by Trevor Tyson, and man, this show, Trevor just has a heart for mental health, but he's also kind of a media personality. The guests that he has are incredible. I enjoy listening. This segment, that's only going to be about 5, 6, 7 minutes. It's when he has Jonathan Evans on, who's the son of Tony Evans, and it's just a powerful episode. I remember Jonathan speaking at his mother's funeral, and it just really changed the way I view death of loved ones. It's powerful, but go and check him out. I encourage you to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also listen at lifeaudio.com. Enjoy the short segment, bonus episode.
You're not going to give up. You're going to keep showing up, whether it's NFL, whether it's the miscarriages, family deaths, like all of these things. You still continue to show up on a daily basis. Where do you think that started with you?
Yeah, I think that started around the table. I think one key thing that people can think about is that table time. My dad and my mom always brought us around the table for dinner. That was the time. And so Monday through Thursday, we were together as a family. You know, back then it was just TVs. We were still mad we weren't watching it, but it was just TVs that were on that had to be turned off. And then we'd come around the table. The rest of the house was dark. The light on the table was the only thing that was on. And Monday through Thursday, not Friday because we would go out to eat, but Monday through Thursday, we would sit there and my dad would literally go around the table, talk to us, ask us what's going on. My mom would just, they would both be in our business, you know. And we'd have great laughs, great talks. But then at the end, my dad would always pull out the Bible and teach a scripture. And he would have one of us read it, tell him what we thought it meant, to which, you know, Tony Evans would normally say, "Aunt, you're wrong. This is what it really means." And then he would go into teaching us how to apply this in our life. What does it mean? He just trained us around that table, him and my mom both. And so we spent our whole childhood trying to run away from the place that was actually going to run into us when we needed it the most. Because you're kids, you know, you don't understand what you're getting at that time. But, you know, I would encourage anybody, because what we're doing now in my family is the same thing. They got a lot more gadgets to turn off. But we get around the table, and I just take that opportunity to lead my family. You know, you can lead your family for an hour to an hour and a half every day if you just show up to the table, whether that's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. A lot of times dinner because of after work, but that's what we did. And so that set the foundation. You know, it's hard to build a foundation when you're in the middle of a storm. So you can build it before the storm, or you can reconstruct it after the storm. But while the storm is going, you have to just determine what you built before during the storm. I mean, you got to determine whether it's going to weather through it. And I think that that foundation that we built early on, my dad built that for us, my mom and dad, around that table, building in those teachings, having that time, having those laughs, having that camaraderie, having that community, really bodes well to not leave your training when you face a trial, because that's the temptation. Temptation that are common to men. So it's common to men to react emotionally. It's common to react based on your circumstances and not your faith. That's a common reaction. But we have an uncommon faith, and we're called to be peculiar. And so I learned that early on, and I'm blessed to be able to administer that even when it's hard. You know, you don't want to leave your training, and that's what most people do, is leave their training in a trial.
Yeah. I think half the battle is just continuing to show up and then having that right faith and the community around you to really just rally around you, not necessarily be there to be like, yeah, good for you, good for you. But no, like they want to, you want them to be praying for you to like lift your arms, like,
yep,
help me in this, help me get through this. And it's biblical. And I think it's safe to say, like, you and your family were actively fighting those battles around the table, which leads me to your book, Fighting Your Battles. One thing that it says in your description is it isn't another keep the faith mantra book with surface level encouragement. What does this mean to you? Where did this book concept come, and why do you think it's so important to release now?
Well, yeah, I think it's important because everything that I've gone through, listen, you're either in a storm or a battle, on your way to one, or you just came out of one. Those are your only options in life. And I wanted it to be practical, not pie in the sky. I wanted to walk with you. There are QR codes throughout the book that you scan, and videos come up of me sharing personal stories, me sharing with my wife is in there sharing about our four miscarriages, our family losses, all of those different things, and how we felt, but also how we battled through. And so we wanted to create a community with the book and not just have another resource that's on the shelf. But I think it's important because, keep the faith. All of those things are important. But there's some understanding that has to go into it to make sure that we don't surrender. And as Christians, if we surrender, that we don't get to experience the fullness of our salvation. Salvation is not just for heaven, it's for earth. That's why it says, the Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Because there's something that's been worked in that has to be worked out to continue to experience it in the here and now. And so I just think that it's important for us to understand. And one of those major things is that I had to learn on a practical level is really learning that I have to be a steward of what I go through, not an owner of what I go through. See, people think stewardship is just for money or for how you handle materialism or for things. No, the Bible says the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Second Chronicles lets you know the battle doesn't even belong to you. The things that you're going through, those aren't yours either. It all belongs to God. So if it all belongs to God, then why am I so burdened by it? If it all belongs to God, then why am I trying to manipulate its outcome? If it all belongs to God, then why don't I give it to him? And me and God can make a trade. Hey, God, I'm going to, by prayer and supplication, without anxiety, without worry, I'm going to make my request known, and I'm going to pass you the ball on this burden or this trial that I'm going through, and I'm going to let you give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And why is it a peace that surpasses all understanding, Trevor? Well, it's because you don't understand why you have it. It's because what you're going through is so miserable and so hard, but you're able to be steady in the misery. And that has to do with learning to pass God the ball and realizing that, you know, you're definitely stepping in God territory when you're losing your mind. Evidence of you being in God's territory is you losing your mind. And the reason why you're losing your mind, because you're not him. And you can't do what only he can do. And so those types of things and how we think through this was the reason why I wrote this book, because I really wanted to challenge us to not give up so that we can experience why we went through.
Wow. You've played pro football, you're a multi-team chaplain, and now you're an author. Was any of this even on the table for you growing up? Was this an aspiration of yours, or did God surprise you with all of this along the way?
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because I've wanted nothing to do with ministry in the sense that I do anything that my father and mother did, because anytime, you know, it's like Michael Jordan's son playing for the Bulls, you know, it just doesn't work out. That's not a good idea for you to follow that. Okay. And so I ran from it. So it wasn't in the cards, but while I was running, God was chasing. And I used sports as a vehicle through which, you know, sometimes we can use things that we're passionate about to actually run away from that push and the prod of the Spirit that's knocking on the door of your heart for where you should be going or how you should be using your gifts. And I did that. But long story short, some of this is in the book. I tore my Achilles tendon. That was one of the things that I did. I had other injuries, but I tore my Achilles, and I was probably 28, 29. So I'm getting close to, once you hit 30, you know, you're a little iffy then, you know.
Unless you're Tom Brady, but.
Yeah, unless you're Tom Brady. Tom Brady's got the fountain of youth.
All right. If you'd like to keep listening to the episode preview you just heard, check out today's show notes for the direct links. Ryan and I will be back at our normal time for our episode. You're not going to miss that on Life After Addiction. But go and check out Trevor Talks. Thank you, guys.